Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
We're back, and you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. I'm Eric Sundrup, along with Carrie Weber, and we are talking with Elizabeth Diaz. And we invite you to join us in the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. And we were talking just about, before the break, a bit about the prosperity gospel and what's going on there in the election and some discussions about that. Transition a little to the person of Mother Teresa, which is sort of a stark contrast to the prosperity gospel, right? Reaching out to people that are not being rewarded, that are left on the margins, and what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth, you had a great piece in the bookazine with Time, and you've followed a little bit about what's going on with Mother Teresa. What would strike you most about the contrast of her life compared to, you know, this prosperity gospel and what we were talking about before?
Well, it's a pretty different message. but when, as we're looking ahead to her canonization, which Pope Francis has timed in the middle of the Jubilee Year of Mercy, it's really fitting to honor her life and her work for decades on behalf of people who had nothing. And she really put valuing their lives in the midst of unbelievable suffering at the core of her mission. So I think, you know, we can talk about Mother Teresa being a Francis saint, but we can also talk about him being Teresa Pope, because their missions are very much aligned.
Yeah, that was something that you write about very eloquently in your article, and about sort of the ways in which their lives kind of overlap or intersect in interesting ways. The devotion that they both have to St. Therese of the Little Flower, the devotion they both have to Francis, to St. Francis. You know, all of these sort of elements of their spirituality that really kind of complements each other, and that you think, oh my gosh, look at how similar these two people are. And then you realize this is maybe something we should all have overlapping if we are trying to live out the gospel in a certain way. But it comes across particularly clearly in their lives.
Mm-hmm. It does. And you know, they both served in religious orders. They, you know, she was known as the saint of the gutters, and he is often called the pope of the slums. And at the core of their public service and personal spirituality is really to act as a channel of God's mercy. So, especially as we look at what Pope Francis has been highlighting in terms of the role of women in the Catholic Church and really putting the spotlight on Mother Teresa this year. And it's right around Labor Day weekend, too, here in the United States, the canonization over at the Vatican. So it's interesting putting all of those things together at this time when such another message and divisive message has been dominating political airwaves here in the U.S.
Yeah, it's interesting also that the two of them have a real respect for the diversity of voices in the world and also in the faith world. So Mother Teresa, you write, sort of talked about wanting to make sure that her mission was to help people be better and move closer to a God that was shared by all religions. So to help a Hindu become a better Hindu, a Muslim become a better Muslim, a Catholic become a better Catholic.
Right, right. And that also ties in with the Pope Francis's namesake, and Mother Teresa really venerated St. Francis as well. And while we know about his work on behalf of the poor, one of the things we forget is his mission and work during the Crusades. And St. Francis traveled to Egypt to meet the Sultan there, who's the nephew of the great warrior Saladin. And initially, Francis had hoped to convert him, but then they met and they really worked together and had a message of peace during this time of great strife. So it's interesting and an important element of Mother Teresa's message and Pope Francis's message, even though we think about them mostly in relation to what they do for those who are suffering.
Yeah, I think that element of really being present to people who are suffering is just something that, as we were just talking earlier in the show, the bishops are talking about, you know, in the context of Labor Day, that the gospel talks about, that these people we really admire talk about, and that in many ways is the purpose of a canonization like this, is to call all of us to kind of remember that and to try to live our lives similarly to the best way that we can.
Mm-hmm. And when we think about Pope Francis, so many of the iconic moments, the iconic photographs that we've seen of him, that, you know, he's captured the world's attention, have been in those moments of paying attention in a way that's not condescending, in a way that's really honoring the dignity of someone who is suffering. And those are the very similar iconic images that we have of Mother Teresa. I mean, the work and the love really was the message there, especially their work with children and with those who are dying, with the homeless. It's something that they really have shared and called those, not just around them, but really on the global scene, global community, to pay attention to.
Right. We have a caller, Richard from North Carolina, who's calling in to talk about this prosperity gospel that we mentioned earlier and that connection to the election. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. Do you have a question for us?
Well, I just wanted to make an observation. The African-American minister from South Carolina that did the invocation at the Republican National Convention, in his actual prayer, he declared Democrats to be, quote-unquote, the enemy. I found that very off-putting, coming from the mouth of a minister. And then Donald Trump's position with the prosperity ministers, he supposedly has been saved by Paula White, I believe is her name. She has a pretty shady background. She's a triple adulteress. Donald Trump, of course, brags about his adulteries. And I just see this, and it just seems really unseemly. And to be quite honest with you, I think some of the prosperity ministers are basically jumping on Trump's bandwagon as a form of self-promotion. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, thank you for your opinion, Richard. We appreciate your calling in. Elizabeth, have you seen sort of some of the conflicts that Richard's talking about in terms of the self-interest versus the connection to the campaign and what each is getting from each other? And if we can kind of tie it back to Mother Teresa, in a sense, how does this sort of compare to the message that she's asking of us, that Pope Francis is asking of us?
Well, certainly the division and the conflict about, you know, what's actually happening with the Trump campaign and the religious leaders that it's been elevating is prompting responses, everything from people like Richard's comments to people who, you know, I've interviewed people and they're grateful for it. So I think what I learned from that is that there are different Americas out there, and increasingly we're speaking to one another less and less. That's sort of more of a meta comment about it, but, you know, we think about someone like, it's hard to bring, it's honestly really difficult to bring these two together because they're such different life goals in many ways and strategies for what it means to be, you know, in their minds, each of them, missionaries of God's truth and what they're called to do. But Mother Teresa's humility and Pope Francis's mission, you know, that's what in the end has given them their political power, by not seeking it and by really wielding mercy as a political tool, which is unconventional, and it's something that has been, frankly, manipulated by many over time. I mean, that's not, it's one thing to say you're doing that and you're acting in other self-interest. It's another to actually do it. So I think that's why, in many ways, we're so fascinated with figures like Mother Teresa and Pope Francis, because they present this other kind of narrative to aspire to.
Yeah, I think hitting on that theme of mercy, I think, is essential to kind of understand their what they're as you said, what they're doing and how they're going about it. That sense of reaching out with mercy. I think one of the things crucial too, it gets back to like when Francis was elected, the first, you know, one of the first interviews they talked about, who is Pope Francis? He said, I'm a loved sinner. The one who can show mercy deeply understands their own sinfulness, their own need for mercy. They can talk about mercy because they've received mercy. And so I think that's a crucial component, and you see that being played out in both of their lives. I think that's something to pay attention to. Sometimes, as you said, it gets misused and people use it for power. They use mercy in that sense, but really true mercy is not in any way seeking power. It's about acknowledging the reality of who we are and our deep need.
Right. And one of the things that Pope Francis said about Mother Teresa from what we know, they only met briefly one time in Rome for a synod in 1994. Pope Francis has recalled that he sat behind her, and he recalled after, and he said, I admired her strength, the determinedness with which she spoke, never letting herself be fazed by the assembly of bishops. She said what she wanted to say, and that kind of strength in the midst of, you know, a synod is a pretty formidable at times institution of power within the Catholic Church, and for her to come in and, you know, Pope Francis said, you know, if she'd been my superior, I would have been scared.
I loved that quote when you put that in there. I was like, I think I would have had the same reaction for both of them, in fact.
Right, and that that really says something about the power of this kind of humility and really radical mercy that she devoted her life to.
Yeah, and I like the phrase that he used, sort of, not, she wasn't fazed. She didn't allow herself to be fazed, because I think sometimes that's what mercy requires of us, because it asks us to do things that are revolutionary, things that are going to turn people's heads, maybe, things that are going to make us kind of get odd looks from people who expect something else. And you write about the ways in which even the ideas for her own order were revolutionary. You know, she was going to have a nun drive one of the buses. She was going to have a different style of habit. She was going to have people out in the streets. And that this is mercy, but it's also a kind of revolution.
It is. And it's something that, even though her mission, you know, is less than 100 years old, right? But it's easy now in 2016, especially in the West, in the United States, to forget just how radical her moves were. I mean, to advocate for one of the sisters to drive the bus around in Calcutta. I mean, that required new permissions. I mean, it's remarkable the lengths to which she went.
As I was reading this, I had to remind myself of what I've forgotten, you know, how revolutionary it was, you know, the dress that she said, they wanted them to dress like the people they were going to be serving. I've grown up seeing her order and pictures of Mother Teresa, and I just assumed it's supposed to be like that, but how revolutionary it was at the time she proposed it. And that, I think that can serve as a great hope for a lot of people too. If something seems revolutionary and you're struggling a little bit with it, you know, you have to have that sort of that will in the face of all of this change. And trust in that this can continue, and this could be something good.
Mm-hmm. And I think whenever we have a canonization, it's a reminder. I mean, that this is a living, breathing, moving process, and time goes forward. And you know, in the future, it's highly likely that there will be other saints. And so when we have a canonization and we hear the call to mercy, I would think it's a reminder for especially Catholics around the world to be called themselves to really listen to the message that they're hearing and the witness that they're hearing in Scripture and in ministries like Pope Francis and Mother Teresa's.
Right. Elizabeth, when you're reporting on these things, when you're reporting and researching about Mother Teresa, when you're talking to politicians or preachers, do you sometimes feel sort of personally connected to the topics or to what they're saying in a way that affects your own spiritual life? Does all of this religion reporting seem to sort of seep into you in a way you don't expect sometimes?
Well, I think any encounter with really anyone can have the opportunity to take take you by surprise. You meet such a volume of very different people from all sorts of backgrounds and experiences, and I think listening is one of the biggest skills one can have as a journalist and as a reporter, and try to really learn from people and what has shaped and is shaping their lives and where they're going. And I think it's more, like, there's a lot to be learned from people's humanity, and that's one thing that I really have appreciated about the job.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in your continuation of that job, and we look forward to seeing you when you receive your award for the Hunt Prize. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being on the show. Coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Jessica Mesman Griffith and discussing the spiritual lives of American teenagers. So you're welcome to call in if, you know, you have the spiritual lives of American teenagers figured out, or if you have questions about that. I imagine it would be the latter, but you can call 1-888-3-CATHOLIC, 1-888-322-8465. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.